Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right. Good afternoon once again. Welcome and thank you very much for tuning in. You're listening to Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. With me, Nayelu Pondwana. This is live until 3 o'clock. We're moving in now to our final episode of Ask a Pastor. And we do have on the line Umfundisi, who is going to be our pastor one more time today. And I was just reminding him that he's not off the hook. He promised us a two-hour-long lecture. And we'll be discussing that next week when we're going to schedule him delivering that lecture with us. But right now, we're not focusing on the 2 hours. It's just the next 15 minutes or so. And then we let him go. Joining us on the line is our Ask a Pastor, Pastor Justice Mongwe, giving us some perspective. Some Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Good afternoon.
Our question for today is, can someone have spiritual fulfillment without belonging to a church?
Yeah, without belonging to a church.
Yes, sir.
As in not going to church as well.
I suppose.
Yes. I may not know about whether individuals may not get fulfilled, get content without being part of the church or God's church. But what we do know is that the best place to be at, if we want to grow, it is to be at church as well, over and above the Christian practices like prayer, and worship, which we can do on our own as well. Over and above that, when we assemble together with other fellow believers,
right,
fellow sojourners, fellow pilgrims, we stand to benefit. And the scriptures are replete with that kind of thinking. And an encouragement for us to be part of the body of Christ.
The church as we have it today, Mfundisi, when did it begin? When did we start having church as we have it today? And I'm asking this because the person who has asked the question is probably having in mind the church as we have it today. And the question is targeted at the church as we have it today. So my question is, when did we start having church as we have it today?
I'm thinking it may be difficult to put a date to that or even a season, because the church, and we're talking about the broader church, the bigger body of Christ, not necessarily denomination,
right.
I believe.
Right.
The church keeps evolving, for lack of a better word. So it may change in shape as well. And the church is not the same everywhere.
Mm.
As you go to various communities, those communities have their own way of expressing themselves in the context of the church.
Right, right.
In the liturgy and rituals that takes place at church will differ from one area to another and
right.
from one era to another.
Right.
But we know that Jesus spoke about the church when he was here with us. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church,
right.
and my own paraphrase, and the church shall be stronger than the gates of hell. The gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Right.
So we can think of the church having been founded by Christ. And even though it may have different expressions and manifestations from time to time and from locale to locale.
Let's talk about that church. Soon after the ascension, we see Peter and his contemporaries lodged in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell down at Pentecost, and they started ministering soon after that, and people were gathered, and they were added to the number. But still, that is something that happened after ascension. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Before he ascended, he said, come together.
Right.
But he had already made the pronouncement about building his church.
Right. Mm-hmm. So can we say that church happened after Christ?
Maybe if we... Especially if we want to say church as we know it today.
Yes, yes.
I'm saying so because when you read Leviticus 23, verse 3, from verse 1 to verse 3, the word of God there actually gives the command that people must come together for worship, for rest and worship.
Right.
So the assembly of believers or the assembly of the body of Christ has been there prior to Christ having come down to be with us. But we think more of the church as the post-Calvary manifestation of the body of Christ, which is much more inclusive than the earlier assemblies used to be before Christ came.
Okay, let's try and be exhaustive in the short space of time that we have. If we were to include the pre-Christ church, as you're calling it, an assembly that was referred to in the book of Leviticus, before Leviticus, there was no assembly, was there?
Are we saying before the children of Israel were a nation chosen by God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The children of Israel were not a church in Egypt. The children of Israel, when they were just a family belonging to Israel or Jacob, they were not a church. And all of them, all of those people, they were not a church going up to Adam. They were not a church.
Yes. We would agree. We would agree. Because when we think of the church, it's another way of referring to the church is to say the body of Christ.
Right.
So in that sense, that whatever worship activities and if families were coming together, which it's very clear that people worshipped more as families prior to Jacob becoming Israel.
Absolutely.
And the men, the fathers in the families, quite often led out in the families' worship expression.
Yes.
Yes.
So let's try and answer this question now. Can those families before Israel, before Sinai, where they were institutionalized and then they were taught how to be a nation, to be a church, so to speak, an assemblage, the ecclesia, the called out ones, families were fulfilled. Individuals were fulfilled, weren't they?
Yes, they were expected to be fulfilled.
Yes.
But it has pleased God also to build a church.
To congregate and assemble them.
Yes. If you read Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not neglect the meeting together.
Right.
As some have made a habit of it. Then it says, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
And other translations will say the day of the coming of the Lord. So this would have been Paul's vision of our days, church. If we think we're living in the days where Christ's return will be soon, Paul envisages that the church today should encourage the coming together and the assembly of the saints.
Right, right.
And he gives a reason for that, why we need to come together, why we shouldn't be silos.
Right.
If you look at Ephesians 4, verse 12, it talks about leadership and those that are filled with the Spirit of God. He says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work,
right,
and build up the church, the body of Christ. So we are already seeing there the formation of a bigger family,
right,
that is bigger than, for lack of a better word, a nuclear family,
right,
where church. And in verse 16, he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly.
Right.
As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts so to grow. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Right.
So we could picture here a metaphor of fire. We have the flames that keep burning when you put wood together.
Right.
And we will be edified, which I think it would not be stretching it too far to say edified people are people who are being assisted by the body of Christ coming together to grow. Edifying meaning to build. Even the gifts of the Spirit, they are meant for the edification of the assembly or the church.
Right.
So we benefit by being part of the church that lives in the days when his appearing will be soon.
Right. So allow me to simplify it, and if I've oversimplified it, you can then restore it to its correct sense. While we have seen from Genesis until Jacob, people thriving spiritually and being fulfilled spiritually, it becomes better when you're doing it together. Not that you cannot, but you can, but you become better at it if you are doing it together. Am I simplifying it to get correctly?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
It can get better than that.
Lovely. Okay. I was afraid you're going to smack my hand and say, I not like that.
I think the other beautiful thing, as we talk about, we use the metaphor of the several pieces of wood,
right,
that are put together to keep the embers alive,
right,
alive rather, and the flames on.
Right.
When you pull those pieces of wood apart, the flame goes away or tends to go away.
Right.
And in our isolation, we are going to meet the testimonies of other believers, the encouragement, and sometimes the testimony is such as it's recorded in 1 Peter 5, I think it's verse 8 or 9, thereabout. Peter says, when you will experience afflictions,
right,
but remember it's not only you who are going through these afflictions alone. Your brothers in the rest of the world are going through stuff as well.
Right.
And then he says, but the God of all comfort will establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to establish you. So he promises what God will do. And for me, to be at church and see somebody else who's struggling the same way that I do helps to keep me going, knowing that I'm not God forsaken.
Right.
The Lord is with me.
Mm.
He has decided to allow stuff to happen to me, but he turns things all around. That which was meant to crush us, God uses it to make us stronger as we share our experiences together and encourage one another.
Okay. All right.
And whilst at that one, yesterday you read a beautiful reference in Romans, how God works things together
right
to bring the best out for God's people who love him.
Right.
So this is God turning things around that should have crushed us.
Yeah.
And I believe that as we share the testimonies sometimes of how we have done our values, but God gave us deliverance.
Yeah.
This is shared in the context of the church setting or the assembly.
Right.
That way we encourage one another, I believe.
Right, right. Lovely, lovely. This is brilliant. Thank you very much, Mfunes. I really appreciate it. Do not forget, Mfunes, next week I will be calling you for us to schedule our two-hour-long lecture, that master class you'll be conducting for us next week. But for today, we are grateful, Mfunes. Thank you very much.
I thank you again. God bless you. And continuously so as you serve him where you're serving him at.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much, Mfundis.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.